Okay, so today is Sunday, third day of the retreat, second full day. just from looking on the outside, looks like people are settling. I have no idea what's happening on the inside. generally it takes a few days to settle. That's normal. That's ordinary. And that's whether it's. coming from jobs, family, or coming from the monastery. it's still, we're addicted to busyness. Being very conscious in settling, putting things down, using the meditation to help settle the mind, settle the heart. Picking up the meditation object as I mentioned yesterday, I tend to give my instructions around breath meditation, but if that's not your primary meditation, the principles still apply, and you can translate it into using it with whatever meditation you are developing and comfortable with, because in the end it's not really about the technique, it's about how we apply and direct our attention, how we apply and direct the mind itself. But with the breath, just recollecting the instructions of the Buddha, he keeps it quite straightforward. Breathing in long, one knows that one is breathing in long. Breathing out long, one knows one is breathing out long. Breathing in short, one knows one is breathing in short. Breathing out short, one knows one is breathing out short. And it's easy to think, well, it's pretty simple. Now what do I do? I want to get on to the more deeper practices. Of course, at that moment, the mind is already outside of the experience of the breath and has forgotten all about whether you're even breathing in or out, not even whether it's short or long, or what subtlety of experience one is feeling. So that to take the time to engage with the present moment, breathing in, breathing out, in this present moment, what am I experiencing? What is the experience of the breath? Just knowing that if the in-breath, whether it's long, whether it's short, whether it's deep, whether it's shallow, just being content with the present moment. And it's a tall order. The past tends to be more compelling. The future seems to be more interesting. The present is just something that we keep skipping over. But of course, that's the, as long as we're missing that present moment, then we're dwelling on the past, which is past. It's dead. It's gone. It's finished. It's done with. Future. It's an unknown quantity. It's speculation. It's projection. It's expectation. It's fear. It's anxiety. So that to come back to the present moment. For many years, Ajahn Sumedho used to begin his instructions, this was years ago, but he'd begin his instructions. The past is over, the past is gone, future is unknown, now is the knowing. So that we have this opportunity to establish our attention in knowing clearly, and being the one who knows, which of course is the epithet of the Buddha. That's the literal translation of the word Buddha, is knowing, being the one who knows. So we have the opportunity to establish ourselves in the principle of Buddha in this present moment. So then returning to the breath as it comes in, as it comes out. Grounding awareness in the body, that sensation of the breath as it comes in, as it goes out, is a bodily experience. Establish attention, root it, ground it, anchor it in the experience of the body. And it's like, bathing the body in the sensation of the breath. Just breathing in, that's like bathing the body in the breath. Making it feel comfortable, making it feel at ease, enlivening it, bringing a sense of fullness into the experience of the breath, body, the mind that experiences it. And breathing in a sense of fullness. And bathing the body and the mind in the experience of the breath. Breathing out, allowing that sense of fullness to establish itself, a sense of presence, a sense of alertness, attention. So that sense, yeah, you're in the same way that when we bathe in the evening or the morning, whatever, that I think for most people you feel refreshed. I mean, it feels good. And doing the same thing with the with our breath meditation, breathing in with awareness, alertness, bathing the body and the mind in the experience of the breath, creating a sense of fullness, breathing out. And the Buddha when in his instructions on breath meditation, he is experiencing the whole body, I breathe in, experiencing the whole body, I breathe out. So that, in that same way, that breathing in a sense of fullness, completeness. And actually, the word that the Buddha uses in Pali, patisangvedi, vedi is this root of say, same as vedana, feeling. Pati and sang both have the connotation of fullness. So that fully experiencing, fully sensitive to the body, I breathe in, fully experiencing, fully sensitive to the body, I breathe out. So that breathing in fullness, establishing that sense of fullness here. You have the opportunity to recognize that the meditation from the Buddha's perspective is not a passive process of sitting down, breathing in, breathing out, and waiting for meditative attainments of stillness and jhana to arise, and then insight and liberation to unfold. If you just sit and wait long enough, it'll happen somehow. You have to engage. You have to, there's a balance that's needed in that engagement. So that engaging with a sense of modulating, attentive to, creating a sense of fullness and presence as one breathes in, as one breathes out. The following instruction that the Buddha gives is calming the bodily formation and breathe in, calming the bodily formation and breathe out, so that there's an attention on calming, on settling. So that using the breath, using our attention, establishing a sense of fullness, and bathing the body, bathing the mind, in awareness and attention, allowing the body to relax, to feel a sense of the openness, expansiveness. Sometimes we try so hard to make the mind peaceful that it feels constricted and tight. Just to allow that the breath to create a sense of expansiveness, spaciousness. There's a not spacey and disjointed, but and discombobulated, but spacious and open, and light. And sometimes, when we try too hard, the mind sort of collapses in on itself. It becomes kind of tight and narrow, and kind of darkens. You use the breath to create space and open it up, allow expansiveness and kind of an energizing of the mind-body complex. So with each in-breath, with each out-breath. And there, we're picking a point of to as a reference point, so that and whatever is feels comfortable, which feels there's some interest there. The tip of the nose, back of the throat, chest area, abdomen, sensation of the abdomen rising, falling. Pick a point so that there's a reference point there, and then to be attentive and alert to the breath coming in, the breath going out. But it's also there's a connection to the whole body, experiencing the whole body I breathe in, experiencing the whole body I breathe out, or fully experiencing the body I breathe in, fully experiencing the whole body I breathe out. And see, the Buddha said, sabba gahaya pati sangveti. So sabba is sort of all, the whole. Gaya is the body. But that doesn't... It's helpful to have a point of reference that you recognize a bit more clearly. Okay, what's the feeling as I breathe in? What's the feeling as I breathe out? Does it feel comfortable? Does it feel interesting? Does it feel expansive? Does it feel contractive? But it's kind of like a spider in its web. Wherever the spider is kind of the focal point. But the spider is also attentive to what's happening in its web. So wherever anything contacts spider is alert to something, some bug or some insect comes along and is there. The spider is immediately alert to that. So in the same way that when we sit, we bring our attention to the sensation of the breath, whether it's the tip of the nose, the abdomen, but then it has a context of the body, and sort of to extend that out also to say to the mind itself, it doesn't preclude a broader awareness. It's just the nature of awareness is such we can know clearly. We don't have to limit it too much. We don't have to force it into a tiny little box. The nature of awareness is such that it can encompass. We get distracted if we start following everything. And that's where it's helpful to have an anchor that we've cultivated and we feel comfortable with. And I think that's something that we, you know, as we develop the meditation, developing a sense of comfort and ease with the breath, with the meditation object. That sense of establishing well-being with the meditation object. Again, sometimes we struggle with it, we fight with it, we force it, we get into arguments with it, and that undermines the meditation. Just learning how to be friends with your meditation, learning how to work together, learning how to be comfortable with it, and so that the meditation becomes something that is really enjoyable. Just breathing in, it's like an old friend being with one, a loved one who you're really comfortable with. Breathing out, and just that sense of ease, that sense of comfort. We're not having to force it too much, but obviously we do need to be patient, consistent, because even somebody who is a good friend or a loved one, you still have to be patient with them. That and the same with our meditation, with our breath, is that having that patience, that consistency, that taking interest, and realizing that when we can be consciously attentive to facilitating this happiness and well-being to arise, make it explicit. It's part of the phrases of loving kindness. May I abide in well-being. Just make that explicit. Have sense of loving kindness, a sense of solicitousness toward one's own well-being. It's not illegal to do that. It's really important to make that very conscious, very overt. May I abide in well-being. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be content. So that lifting up that well-wishing toward oneself, toward one's efforts in meditation. It's actually an extremely important intention to set. That volition, that inclination, the motivation for our efforts in meditation is one of seeking happiness and well-being. And that's a... it's what we want anyway. But sometimes we're... I think it ties into that question last night about guilt. You know, like... it's like our conditioning is such that can't really wish for too much happiness. That'd be that's somehow wrong. Feel guilty about it. I might feel good. it's really diabolical. But from say the Buddhist perspective, our wish for our own well-being and happiness is not separate from our wish and for others' well-being and happiness. There is no separation. The more we're able to really attend to establishing a sense of true well-being and happiness for ourselves, we'll be solicitous of others, we'll be caring of others, because we realize there is no separation. There isn't a difference. So that the more we can make that explicit, then we ourselves and are able to settle. And so it's being able to look at the mind, experience the mind in a way that we can pull out or extract that kind of innate desire for well-being and happiness. Inevitably, our minds get kind of mixed up and muddled and complicated, and sometimes it's hard to really focus in and separate out the sense of well-being and happiness. It's kind of like with salt water. You can't really drink it. I mean, it's lots of water, but you can't really drink it. You can't really, you bathe in it, you end up feeling kind of icky after. Our mind is all kind of, it's sort of like that. It's mixed with other things. Confusion, delusions. But we can, this is the process of our practice and our meditation, is really learning how to separate out, extract that feeling and that of happiness and peace. Allowing it to establish itself, allowing it to create a refuge for ourselves, so that this simple process of being attentive to one in-breath and one out-breath, that has major applications and implications keep returning. It's like the Buddha's instructions on mindfulness of breathing. He starts with breathing in long, one knows when breathes in long, breathing out long, one knows when he breathes out long. And And that's the first step of, say, 16 steps of mindfulness and breathing. And our tendency is, oh, I want to get on to the next one. I'll check off that list and get all through and accomplish something. But, really, we can keep returning to that first step, and it will nourish our practice over and over and over again. So to be content to keep returning. If anyone loses the if you're drifting off into events from the past, proliferations out into the future, come back into the present, breathing in long. I know I'm breathing in long. Breathing out long, I know I'm breathing out long. Just coming back to that simple process of breathing, anchoring awareness, coming back into the body, fully experiencing the body. I breathe in, fully experiencing the whole body. I breathe out. These are the roots of the Buddha's practice, and it's not the path of meditation is not a linear one. It's not like you start at point A and then you've got to go get to the end. It's like a race to the finish line. You're not going anywhere. You're breathing in, you're breathing out, learning about your mind, learning about your heart, learning how to nourish the heart. I think that sense, bathing the body, bathing the heart in the breath, bathing it in awareness and attention, enlivening, bringing a sense of presence to this simple process. So we can work with that this morning.